from KQED.
Hansen heads NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies in New York and is a climate science pioneer. Previously, few scientists were willing to link any specific weather events to climate change. So I asked Hansen if that's changing.
Well, yes, it's changing in the sense that the climate dice are now noticeably loaded. But in the case of Sandy, the waters in the Atlantic Ocean were a few degrees warmer than normal. So it kept that storm amped up. And, of course, the warmer atmosphere also holds more water vapor, so you get more rainfall, and therefore you got heavier floods. But in addition, sea level has gone up a measurable amount over the last several decades, and that contributes too. The climate dice are now loaded, and they're becoming more loaded, and it's reaching a level that the public should notice, that the frequency of extreme events is greater than it used to be.
The public, I think, is noticing. We've certainly noticed here in California just recently we had one of these multi-day, multi-wave storms referred to as the Pineapple Express. Are there climate change fingerprints on that type of event too?
Well, there is a fingerprint on extreme rainfall. So if you look at the record rainfalls, the extreme events, those are affected by global warming because the atmosphere holds more water vapor when it's warmer. And the relationship is quite a strong one. So that storms, thunderstorms, hurricanes, tornadoes, those storms that are driven by latent heat of water vapor are going to be stronger. The extreme ones are going to be stronger. And that's simple physics. But you can't blame any single event. So the analogy that was recently drawn of a baseball player on steroids, that's a good example. He'll hit more home runs, but you can't say that particular home run was because he's on steroids. But you can clearly see there's an impact.
Hansen has also not minced words about California's newly established cap-and-trade program. When asked at the Commonwealth Club why he doesn't favor the program, he gave a startling response.
Because it's not, it's half-assed.
Here in our studios, he explained why he thinks so.
Well, California is very useful in providing an example of how you can have a good economy compared to the rest of the country and still have low emissions. But frankly, cap and trade is not the way to do it. What you need is an honest, flat carbon fee across the board that covers coal, oil, and gas is collected from the fossil fuel companies, and the money that's collected should be distributed to the public so that the person who does better than average in limiting their fossil fuel use will actually get more in their dividend than they pay in increased prices. That way, the public would allow this price to go high enough to phase out fossil fuels. And that's what we have to do. But a cap and trade system, you have to go big. Every country. We tried that with the Kyoto Protocol. Most countries just laugh. China and India just laughed at us when we asked. They're not going to put a cap and trade system on. But if we have this flat carbon fee, it can be made global.
The oil and gas industry and others are still pushing back hard against even the market-based cap-and-trade system here in California. Of course, a carbon fee or tax, honest carbon fee, as you put it, would be politically even more difficult to achieve. What do you think the chances are with that?
Well, I don't think it is politically more difficult. If it's explained to the public, it should be saleable. But, of course, there's no salesman for it. Politicians have not yet been willing to recognize that we can't burn all the fossil fuels. They're allowing and even encouraging fossil fuel companies to go after every fossil fuel they can find. Tar sands, tar shale, fracking, mountaintop removal. It's crazy because our children are going to have to figure out a way to suck that CO2 back out of the atmosphere, or they're going to get problems that will be monumental.
As Hansen and I were talking, negotiators from nearly 200 countries were wrapping up UN climate talks in Qatar. They made some progress toward an agreement to cut carbon emissions that, if finalized, wouldn't be in place until 2020. Meanwhile, 2012 will likely go down as America's warmest year on record, with worldwide carbon emissions reaching a record high. I'm Craig Miller, KQED News.
Support for KQED science and environment coverage is provided by the Videz Family Foundation, the Wincote Foundation, and the Amgen Foundation.